Hey there, it's Zach, and for today's mini-episode, I would like to share with you the 100% human reading of my latest Substack essay that's titled, We Have Created a Lonely World Where Nobody Knows Our Names. If you enjoyed this essay and you don't want to miss my future essays, actionable insights, and soapbox rants about navigating the next act of work and life on our terms and not the robots, make sure to subscribe at zacharnold.com/substack. Again, that is Z-A-C-K, zacharnold.com/substack. My father is my hero, and I miss him every single day. But a small part of me is glad that he's no longer with us. Because if he were still alive today, had the congestive heart failure and dementia not killed him first, the current state of our society probably would have. My dad was the unlikely combination of Norm from Cheers and Kevin's dad from The Wonder Years. No matter the place of business that he would enter, whether it was the local hardware store, cafe, or even the cheese factory, and yes, I literally mean the cheese factory, he was always greeted with a lively, Mr. Arnold! A hearty wave, and of course, timeless quips such as, so you working hard or hardly working? Given that he was the K-12 principal for the entire school district in a Wisconsin dairy farming community of 412 people, it wasn't a stretch to say that everybody in town knew my dad's name. If you came to Mr. Arnold seeking help, he would either drop everything and bend over backwards for you to a fault, or if he couldn't help you, he always knew a guy. And in return, if my dad needed help, which he would seldom ask for, the entire community was always there to support him. I can think of no better example than when both he and my mother fell to dementia, at the exact same time, no less, and the local Amish community banded together to support my siblings and me as we navigated sandwich generation hell. From downsizing decades of hoarding to cleaning up 40 acres of dilapidated farmland, and then ultimately liquidating what was left of their estate at an Amish auction, for which, of course, they refused to take any commissions because of all that my family had done for them. We literally wouldn't have survived without the support of the vast network that my father had spent decades building, one human relationship at a time. Now, if Norm was one side of the coin, Kevin's dad, also aptly named Mr. Arnold, was the much darker flip side. Outside of work, my father was the most reclusive, introverted person that I've ever known, with my mother being a very close second. I still get chills rewatching The Wonder Years because I swear that Jack's indifferent grunt and stare was modeled directly off of my father's. Upon arriving home in the evenings, there was nary a conversation with my dad, short of discussing my chores for the evening, of course. With the exception of family gatherings for major holidays, we never entertained guests. He never had friends over for a beer or to watch the ball game, and the only social gatherings that he attended were school-related functions, where he could confidently wear the moniker of Mr. Arnold, rather than just showing up as Al. And just like me, my father preferred hot pokers through the eyeballs to enduring even 5 minutes of small talk. It wasn't until writing his eulogy that I began to reflect on the sharp dichotomy between his extroverted confidence and his introverted reclusiveness. How was it that the same man capable of inspiring an entire assembly of K-12 students eventually became an agoraphobic? In his later years, the mere thought of leaving the farm and being amongst even small crowds of people was enough to trigger crippling anxiety. He could no longer travel because he refused to be in airports or even drive in heavy traffic. Zoom calls drove him insane. And even a simple phone conversation with a customer service representative would often bring this otherwise formidable, larger-than-life hero without a cape to tears. I once witnessed my father spend 3 straight hours wrestling the customer service department at AT&T, and by the way, there is a special place in hell for that company, and he was being passed around from one person that he couldn't understand to another who couldn't solve his problem to another that was simply reading from a manual of SOPs rather than having a real conversation and listening to him. Upon hanging up, you would have sworn he had just run a marathon. Slumped over the edge of the couch and staring at the ground, he lifelessly sighed to himself, why can't I just talk to a real person? I can only imagine how my father would react to this new world where there are more robots in the internet than humans, where we desperately search for our soulmates by swiping left and right, where the people who influence us have millions of followers but zero friends, where we hide our real names behind our online avatars, and where the business currency that we covet above all else is connections rather than genuine relationships. In short, our lives have become nothing more than an endless series of transactions. We Instacart to avoid the incompetent clerks who will tell us to do their jobs for them by using an app just so we can find an item that was in the next aisle. We DoorDash to avoid the mindless chit-chat that's standing between us and our MSG. We cruise our Instagram and LinkedIn feeds, freely throwing around likes and connections at every profile, no different than the Wolf of Wall Street throws cocaine at his hookers. We do everything that we can to avoid real life, because every trip into the analog world reminds us just how broken we have become as a society, as communities, and as individuals in search of our tribes. And all for the sake of efficiency. Now, what terrifies me the most is not that we're here, but that we seem to be doubling down on stupid. So in my article, I have an example of a recent cold outreach message that I received that reads as follows. Zach, would it interest you if we sent 5,000 cold emails per day on behalf of your company to get you meetings booked with companies that need your services? Oh my God, 5,000 emails a day? Why, yes, tell me more. Dear Lord. Building more efficient AI systems to facilitate even more connections in the digital world, that's not going to dig us out of this existential hole of loneliness and despair. The robots are the shovels. Artificial intelligence doesn't improve systems, it only amplifies them. And if your current relationship building strategies don't work now, using the robots is not going to make things better. It's only going to make your ineffective systems exponentially worse. No matter if you're struggling to find work, find friends, or even find your soulmate, I promise you the answer is not even more connections, more followers, or more swipes. The only way out of this existential hole is reverting back to the evolutionary instincts that have allowed us to survive this long as a species, surrounding ourselves with real humans in the analog world and becoming part of a tribe. Introverts, I see you, I feel you, I get you. The mere thought of belonging, that is enough to send shivers down our spines. Similar to Woody Allen and Annie Hall, and of course Groucho Marx before him, I too refuse to join any club that would have me as a member. But as I've grown older and occasionally wiser, I don't know, I've discovered the problem for me was not belonging so much as never feeling like I fit in because I was trying to belong to the wrong tribes. And this is where the internet and the robots are no longer our enemies, but can instead become our greatest allies. So as I argued in my previous essay, I am not anti-AI. With the proper rules and boundaries, I believe that the machines, when combined with the best of what makes us human, have the tremendous power to not only amplify our creative process, but also help facilitate connections, build genuine relationships, and expand our tribes. But only if we understand where the robots do, and more importantly, do not belong in the networking and relationship building process. No matter if you're seeking your tribe of peers that share the same eclectic interests as you, you're building your tribe of experts who are doing the work now that you would like to be doing next, or surrounding yourself with a tribe of mentors who can guide you on the right path to your goals in both work and life, the internet is a vast ocean of endless possibilities and interesting connections, and the robots can be the navigation system. But we must never let the robots drive. No different than my creative process, where I draw a hard line, is allowing the robots to write my words for me, and this includes my outreach. The most effective outreach is the kind that makes the recipient and their work feel seen, feel heard, and make their impact known. And the reason that people reply and want to genuinely connect with you in return is because you made them feel something. This, the robots can never do effectively. Our path forwards is not amplifying the quantity of our connections, but instead amplifying the quality of our few but incredibly valuable relationships. My dad, he didn't read blogs. He wasn't a self-help junkie who consumed podcasts like Pez or mindlessly scrolled his newsfeed for the latest tips on boosting his LinkedIn connections. He just knew intrinsically what science has proven beyond the shadow of a doubt and what we as humans have known since the beginning of time. The quality of our life is determined by the quality of our relationships. Despite the sharp dichotomy between the gregarious extroversion of Norm from Cheers and the reclusive introversion of Kevin's dad from The Wonder Years, there is a universal theme underneath not only these two timeless shows, but also my father's own story. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and we'll get by with a little help from our friends. So as a quick PS, if you go to this Substack essay, I have embedded a podcast conversation that I recorded with my father shortly before he passed. And it is one of my most prized possessions in the world. And in this podcast conversation, I go through a 20 questions exercise to learn all about him and his story. And if you are fortunate enough to have your father or mother or anybody important and influential in your life that is still with us, I highly recommend using this same exercise. So when you are ready, if you want to make things that matter, I want to help you. But creating awesome work is only half the battle. The other half is making sure that the right people know that you're awesome. No matter your goals in work or life, nothing worthwhile is easy. Achieving hard things is going to require guidance, support, mentorship, and a little luck along the way, not to mention a little help from your friends. If you're tired of networking strategies that no longer work, or if you are so allergic to the idea of networking that you have given up completely, well, I would like to help you build genuine relationships with your fellow humans. That is why I am launching the first of its kind, a free live masterclass that I'm calling Networking for Creatives. More information, again, is in the Substack essay. I will be leading this live on Monday, April 27th, and right in the Substack essay, you can RSVP, or you can go directly to zacharnold.com/masterclass. That is Z-A-C-K, zacharnold.com/masterclass. And in this masterclass, you are going to learn how to build genuine and human relationships without the robots, without social media, and without selling your soul. Listen, I promise that networking doesn't have to suck, especially if you are highly creative and introverted like me. In fact, I believe that introverts have distinct advantages in the networking game. They just don't know how to leverage these advantages in the digital age. And the best part is, I truly believe that networking can be enjoyable, it can be rewarding, and most importantly, it can also be algorithm-free. So very quickly, in this live 90-minute masterclass, which is going to be via Zoom, you're going to learn why networking is absolutely essential to your creative survival. You're also going to learn where you can leverage your introversion to make networking fun and rewarding instead of soul-sucking. You'll also learn who to target based on your goals so you can stop wasting your time spraying and praying with the shotgun approach. You'll also learn how to approach your ideal connections without having to bother them, feeling like you're insulting them, or even worse, feeling like you have to sell yourself. And lastly, you will learn what to actually say to people so they are both excited to connect with you and eager to help. All right, I hope you enjoyed today's essay. Thank you once again for letting me into your inbox, your earbuds, and your heart. Take care of yourself and be well.